You see, it's to recognize and then to respond that is so key to releasing the kingdom of God. You know, how many brought the anointing with them? You see, the anointing of God resides in us, and we're supposed to be prepared for church. It's not like, okay, let's come in and see what happens, but we're to help make things happen. Somebody say amen. You say, and you know, the preparation for the Sabbath used to begin the night before. And when we have a Sunday morning service, I mean, 8 o'clock Saturday night, I'm done. And I'm just preparing, whether I'm preaching or not, for the service the next day. I don't stay up real late. I'm not watching movies and all the rest. But I'm preparing my heart, amen, to worship the Lord because it's the Lord's day, amen? And, you know, that whole principle about a Sabbath rest is really key. And I said the other night, and I'm just going to just test you guys, you know, how, if I want to scare a bunch of Christians, I just ask them, how many of you guys can recite the Ten Commandments in order? Who knows the Ten Commandments? Look, come on, is anybody? There's one. Anybody else? You see, one out of all these. There's two. Good. Hallelujah. But you see, most of us, well, we know a few of them here and there. But the bottom line is we're not studying the Word of God or memorizing the Word of God or putting the Word of God in our hearts like we used to. Now, let me hear. Here's another quiz for all you Bible students. You ready for this? Out of all the Ten Commandments, okay, all ten, they're confirmed in the New Testament up to 20 times. And the least one is four times except for one. And one commandment is not confirmed in the New Testament. Anybody want to take a guess what it is? Only one. You see, this is good trivia. This is good trivia. I'll give you a hint. Who said that? You did. That's it. The Sabbath day. The Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's not it. It doesn't say it in the New Testament. Anybody want to guess why? Every day is a Sabbath rest, and Jesus is our rest. We enter in to that rest. So he is the Sabbath, Lord of the Sabbath. So I just figured I'd put that out there. And when we enter in to that rest, we cease from our own works, and we, you know, plow in to his finished work. Isn't that tremendous? Amen. That is just a tremendous thing. So learn the Ten Commandments, okay? Because they're all through, amen, the New Testament, interwoven. And it's the very basic fundamentals of really the kingdom of God. I want to introduce the best part of my ministry. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. I've been married to this woman for 32 years. We're going on 33 years. 33 years. And the miracle is she hasn't left me. That's the miracle, you know, that she stuck with me over all that time. And I've looked in the mirror, and I'm telling you, that's hard to live with. You know what I mean? So I'm just so thankful for my wife, Nancy. Nancy, just get up and greet everybody. Amen.
Morning. Thank you. I guess you guys know what you've got here. This is just an amazing well. Thank you, honey. This is what I just dumped my purse. All of my personal belongings. Story of my life. Kenny is a bowl in a china closet, but there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, by the strength of the ox comes increase. And so, honey, don't let Pastor John. I don't know what's in there.
I don't know. You've got all kinds of
lipstick, see? Yeah. Lipstick. Burnt amber. Yep. You know, it's kind of like being in the ministry. Your stuff just gets out there. It's just out there, you know. It's like, what do we have to hide, Lord? Okay. So I have chewing gum and toys because of my grandchildren. But I can't even begin to describe the refreshing that Kenny and I have gotten in the last couple of days. And your worship is just, it's so special. These songs are so genuine and we've just been totally refreshed. It's been beautiful. It's great to be back here. I had just an impression last night while we were worshiping, and it was, you know, your name is Wellspring. Is that the name of the church? And I just, you guys may have heard this because of your name, but you know, there's the way water comes up from the ground. There's chambers. They can be flowing chambers. They can be caverns and rivers. And, you know, and the water works its way to the surface, and there's purification in that process of rising. It comes up through the strata. Sometimes it breaks through because of pressure and melting waters and many different things. And, you know, we've been friends with this church for a long time, and it's remarkable to me that the presence of the Lord is so sweet in this place and through the, you know, the breaking up of just these layers of debris and strata and rock. There's just such a purity, and I just felt like the Lord was saying that it was that you're just broken through. You've come through a layer that is just bringing up such sweet water, and it is not limited. As a matter of fact, I just feel like it is just, there's such an abundance of a flow that as you continue in this worship, see, I mean, I feel like there's no agenda here but to worship, but to meet God. And that's so rare. It's so rare, but it's so real. It's like, let's just keep going and meeting God. And that has created and made this atmosphere. And I know that I've drunk of that water in the last couple of days, but I just really feel like, you know, not just this region, but, you know, those that are going to be sent out are going to be carrying just such a sweet, sweet word. And we're just really blessed to be here. Thank you for keeping us in prayer. We've had quite a year. I just want to testify. God's been good. He's faithful. Amen. My mom went home to be with Jesus in October. She was, I think she may even have come with us here once, way, 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 way back. Yeah, we went to Rocky Mount and we came here, and my mom got saved when we had one sister in my family. She got saved during the Jesus movement, and we were all like, yeah, we got this Jesus freak sister. She's just, why, you know, she just sold out for Jesus. And my other sister and I were just, you know, we were ski bums, you know, and kind of party people. But we just watched my sister, and then God just touched me mightily. I was riding my bike across America, and we found out that it was really cool to stay at churches, like, because you could, like, stay. We just say, can we put our tent in the backyard? And somehow I felt safer. And we stayed, I think, at 30 churches from Vermont to California, my girlfriend and I. And of course, what's going to happen? These pastors are praying for us, you know, the whole way across. And when I got to Texas, I didn't mean to get into this whole testimony. Got to the panhandle of Texas, little town called Shamrock. We had this little routine. We'd come into town and sun's going down, and we would look for like a little sign for a church. So Lutheran Church welcomes you. And so we'll go over there and ask if we can put our tent out back. And inevitably they'd say, stay in the nursery, or, you know, stay in the building where it's heated. And we'd say, oh, thank you so much. You know, two girls in their 20s. We didn't look too threatening. We got to this town and the police started following us around town. And the lights came on. Ring, pull it over, girls. Or guys, we got an escort. So they said, and they escorted us to the police station. Awesome. So they said, listen, we don't like to leave vagrants out in the streets at night. Now I just quit my job or finished my job as a social secretary in Washington D.C. But now I'm a vagrant in a little town in Texas. And they said, there's a little Baptist church that likes to put up vagrants for the night. We said, we're fine. We can get a room. You know, we usually stay at churches, and they told us there are no Lutheran churches. We didn't know. We were looking for a Catholic or Lutheran church. I guess there's none in Texas. But anyway, so so the cops called this pastor up, and he came, this little short Baptist guy, and he goes, ah, hallelujah, you know, I'm going to put you girls up in the hotel. My wife's going to cook you a real Texas breakfast tomorrow morning. So anyway, he picked us up in the morning and brought us to his lovely home. His beautiful wife made this incredible breakfast. And for the first time in all those 30 stops along the way, he just confronted us and said, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And I just, that was my confession of faith. I said, I do. And I mean, it was a moment, nothing. I mean, it didn't seem like lightning, but I knew from that moment. So all the way from Shamrock, Texas. But listen, this is, Catholic girl. I was a Catholic girl. But this is the beauty of the story. They said, the police said, we cannot leave you on the streets because there's been a series of execution-style murders. Six people had been killed. Over six people, four people had been, and they were people that were sleeping, you know, behind churches. And so we don't know if our lives were spared that night, but the Lord, you know, came into my heart, and I said all that. But I came home, I got saved. My sister came back from California. She was trying to lure me into being a ski instructor for the winter and meeting nice guys. She was like, I think there's a ski church. I'll take you to the ski church. And I'm like, I just got to get somewhere where I can meet the Lord. And my mom was so amazed that, you know, here's three of her daughters now, and my mom got saved, but she got to go home to be with Jesus in October. And I'll tell you, God is so good in our youth and in our old age. And, you know, God sent in people. You know, you can't always minister to your parents like you'd like to. You know, we sometimes they push our buttons. I love my mom. She was probably my bestest friend besides Kenny. And but God sent in ones that went right to her heart, to places as that she was broken as a child, and brought healing in her life. And she went home, you know, just full of God's love. And so we just are rejoicing. And heaven is so real, right? When you lose somebody, heaven is so real. It's so real. It's so close. And we just are rejoicing in that. And we feel heaven is come to earth in this place for certain. So thank you for welcoming us, Pastor Kenny. Sorry, honey.
Amen. Oh, Nancy. Yeah, you should hear the rest of the story. Yeah. I just...
That was me.
I just didn't stop till I hit San Diego. Hallelujah. You got to hear the rest of the testimony. I mean, it's crazy. It's weird. You know, I had a past that was kind of rough. But, you know, the job that she quit as far as being the social secretary, that was for Senator Ted Kennedy. And she was living in... She was living in the house as the social secretary during the 1980 campaign. And there was a brief time where she was actually the governess for his children. And so she's got some stories to tell. I mean, you know, but I'm happy to say she's been delivered. Hallelujah. She's been delivered unto righteousness, you know. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it's hard to cast a Kennedy out of somebody. I mean, it's rough. Hallelujah. So... Amen. Especially when you're from Massachusetts. I mean, holy moly. It was it's quite an interesting story. Listen, John and Marianne, thank you so much for your hospitality. Thank you for having us. I feel like you rescued us. You rescued us by inviting us here, because, you know, sometimes you get weary in the ministry. And I'm just like one of those guys that are real clear. And it's important for you guys to encourage your pastors and to... you know, just to appreciate them for who they are, because they go through things that you cannot even imagine. I don't know a pastor who's been in the ministry as long as Marianne and John, me and Nancy, and so many others, and I'm sure even Vincent, you know, all the trials, all the tests, all the heartbreaks along the way. And I just want to tell you this, that there's two parts. I'm going to talk to you a little bit out of Luke chapter 15, but... This kind of goes along with the message last night, which was really just about the, you know, a salvation and the way that we, you know, the Lord ministered to us inwardly. And then we have this outward expression. And but the one thing is, we learned this when we were in Pinecrest, that what we were doing today in spirit is reaching up to heaven. That we're trying to bring heaven down to earth. You follow what I'm saying? And so that is what we call man-child ministry. That's the reaching out. And that's the good stuff, church. That's where, man, you know, wow, we get in the zone. We get blessed. We get refreshed. We get to come away for a couple of days and worship and, you know, like we mean it. Sister, I just love your expression of worship. And the reason why I'm saying that is I got instant joy. You know, I'm sitting there watching her go for it, and I'm sitting there going, man, I got to be more like that lady. Yeah. I said, that rock and roll mama, man, she's got the goods, you know, but it's real. It's genuine. And I give the Lord the glory for you too. But you see, the thing is, there's that expression, and each one has that expression. You might not be as expressive as this young lady here, but the thing is there's something, there's a song that only you can sing. There's a song that nobody can sing to the Lord but you. Hallelujah. There's an expression of God's love or your love for God that you need to express. And I tell people, you know where you can do it the best? At home in your prayer closet. When there's nobody here. Anybody here sing in the shower? Come on. I sound great in the shower. When there's nobody around, the reverb, the echo, it's amazing if I could capture that. Even with the water coming down, it's great. But, we get around other people, we kind of like, I don't want to, offend anybody, and all the rest. But, there's something like, hey, I don't care. I'm going for God. And you got to break out of that box. Turn to your neighbor and say, break out of the box. Amen. Right. The devil doesn't want to see you get real excited. Man, you can get excited as you want at a football game, excited as you can at a baseball, all the rest, the Olympics or whatever. But, man, just don't get excited in church. You know what I mean? But, that's not the way God feels. God loves it. And so I just want to praise him for that. So we got the man-child ministry. The other thing I was telling you, the tough stuff is what we call the horizontal part. And here's the upward part of the cross. But the truth part is reaching out and touching lives and ministering to people and living the life of Christ. And that'll kill you. That's the cross. That's the part where you have to deny yourself. Amen. And follow him. Grace is doing something that you might not even want to do, but you're called to do, and you're not good at it. You're not, don't think you're good at it. You don't really want to do it, but it's the right thing to do because God commands it in his word. And when you recognize that and you want to, somebody say obey. Say obey. Obey, obey the word of the Lord. Let me be a doer of the word. The grace of God will come upon you and enable you. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I have to tell myself this many times in a day, is Philippians 4:13. Any of you know it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things through Christ. And that doesn't say some things. That says all things, whatever we're called to. Turn to Luke chapter 15, if you would. And this is a message that I've ministered to many times, many different ways. And you've probably heard this. And this parable, deals. I'm just going to read the first three verses of chapter 15. It's Luke 15. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying. And this thing just starts off where Jesus is being criticized by the religious, I don't want to say the religious right, but by Pharisees, those that, were, keepers of the law, and they were very exacting, and they were holy people, but their righteousness was in what they were doing and the way they were doing it. And they kind of felt they were a little better than everybody. So here's this guy, here's the Son of God, Jesus. And, he's starting to hang out with people that he shouldn't be hanging out with. And why? Because they're hungry, and Jesus has given them what? Good news. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. Somebody say good news. You see, this gospel is good news, and we're supposed to be communicating the good news everywhere we go. As a matter of fact, Paul got to the place that he says, if anybody preaches another gospel other than the one I told you, let them be accursed. And he says, I'm going to say it to you again. Let them be accursed. What was the issue with the Galatian church? I'm going to tell you what it was. They backslid to come back under the law instead of the law of the Spirit of life that was in Christ Jesus. And I want to just explain a few things out of this parable, because Jesus makes it very clear. And I think there's some warning signs in here for all of us. I have to put my senior glasses on. Here we go. And so the first parable he deals with is the lost sheep. And, you know, he basically says, hey, you know, if you lose a sheep, you know, tell me you're not going to go after them. And the whole idea is, you know, this was something of value, and it's an animal. And he basically finishes up by saying, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Just think about that. Amen. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
See, it's his joy.
That's right.
But how do we make him joyful? What gets God excited?
Amen.
You leading one sinner to repentance. You preaching the gospel to one person. That puts joy. It says the whole, all of heaven rejoices. The next thing is a parable of the lost coin. And again, something of value. And I'm not going to get into all the symbolism of what it might represent. But he goes ahead and it says, there it is, you know. I mean, this woman's searching for this coin and she gets it. And, you know, everybody kind of rejoices with her. It says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So not only God, but all of heaven. The angels are excited. As a matter of fact, the angels will work with you in leading people to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They're servants to those, or ministers to the heirs of salvation. Amen. Now, I want to get to the next thing, which is a parable of lost son. And if you want to title this message, you can call it The Extravagant God, and you know, or The Prodigal God, because it's about the prodigal son. And what prodigal means is somebody that's super extravagant. And this story is, a real key to unlocking some basic kingdom Bible truths. And we're going to begin in verse 11. And he said, a certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. I want to stop right there. And just think of this impact. There's two sons. And here's this father that apparently is extremely wealthy. All right. He's got means. And what we're going to see here is the father's heart, you know, today. And this younger son, you know, is tired of living under his dad's domain. And, you know, he went ahead and he's demanding, I want my inheritance and I want it now. And to do that, the father had to divide up the livelihood. Now, think about this. He had probably lands and cattle and stuff. And now he has to rearrange his whole life in order to accommodate this younger son. And he does it. But think about this. He's going to have to sell lands. He's going to have to maybe, you know, shift some things around if you wanted to bring it, you know, into the natural. And because, you know, I've, you know, been in touch with people that have gotten inheritances, and there were other siblings, and it has to go to probate, and, you know, to get, you know, the different inheritances, you know, sorted out of who gets what and all the rest. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing. I'm sure the whole town and the whole village knew what was going on. And here is his son actually disgracing and disrespecting his father's wishes, and yet the father indulges this younger son and accommodates him to just go ahead and go freely. Well, he goes and he blows all his money on prostitution and drinking and you know, parties. And it says in verse 14, hallelujah, and also he goes to a far country. Now, that means away from what he is used to. He goes to a strange land. And we'll see later on that that strange land lived under a different set of rules. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe, somebody say famine. Famine in the land, and he began to be in want. This kid never wanted for anything. He was kind of spoiled, as a matter of fact. He lived under his father's domain. He lived, and if he needed something, I mean, his father had servants. He could get whatever he wanted whenever he wanted it. But there was something inside him that wanted to do his own thing. He wanted his own freedom, wanted his own expression. And so he's going to take what had he had coming, and he was going to do what he wills with it. Unfortunately, there's people like that in the church that grows up. They grow up in the church, okay? And they have everything, the benefit of living in a Christian home, receiving, you know, Christian instruction and all the rest. But there's something where all of a sudden, you know, some of our young people want to get prodigal. They want to say, well, you know, church is okay, and that's all fine and good, and I really appreciate that, mom and dad, but I want to go on my own. I tell you what, I think some kids go to college and become stupid. I mean, I do. I mean, they just forget everything, and they get into all kinds of crazy stuff. They start to entertain all kinds of vain philosophies, amen, and teaching worldly teachings that are contrary to the Word of God. And it takes time to sort through all of that stuff. It takes time. And so here's this guy. Now, all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, wait a second here. I'm going to have to do without. I'm going to, you know, I don't have the safety and the security that I once knew. All of a sudden, wait a second, I didn't expect this. He was in want. And verse 15, and then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And, you know, who is this citizen? This is somebody that's living under a different set of rules. This is the world. This is like representative of the kingdom of darkness. Here I am. In other words, I'm going to have to sell myself into some kind of slavery. I'm going to have to do some things that I don't necessarily want to do just to survive. Unfortunately, there are people that have compromised that which they truly believe, and they're settling for a whole lot less than God had for them in the house of the Lord. That's it. And so here's this young person that all of a sudden says, well, that was okay from mom and dad, but it's a little old-fashioned. Amen. They're just a little too extreme. They're just a little too legalistic when it comes, amen, to the word of the Lord and to, you know, just serving God. You know, as a matter of fact, it's okay. I'll go to church once in a while, but I'm going to go to one of those churches where, man, they got a one-hour service, you know, in at 11, out by 12. Hallelujah. It's just a little too long. And you know, really, my life is too busy. I can't make a Bible study or a prayer meeting, but I can still, amen, have a relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I really believe that God is starting to raise up a people that are truly hungry, amen, for the presence of God, that it's time that we stop playing church and that we become the church. Hallelujah. To where, you know, it's inclusive in this sense that everybody is welcome and we minister to everybody that comes in, and that God's going to love you just the way you are, except he loves you so much he's not going to leave you the way you are. He's going to take you on. Come on. He's going to make you better. He's going to give you better, amen, than you would even want for yourself. Come on, somebody praise him, would you? Hallelujah. This is an extravagant God. Here we are. He joins himself to a citizen of that country, and he's sent to the fields to feed swine. Here it is, pigs, unclean, you know. And this, of course, Jesus is teaching Jews. He's teaching sinners. He's teaching the tax collectors. But, you know, and he's saying, all right, this guy, he goes, and they understood this. This is terrible. This is a disgrace. Man, if daddy ever found out about this back at the Ponderosa, oh, man, this would be horrible to live this thing down. Amen. And so here he is, and he said, at one point he says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods, amen, that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Now these pods are carob pods, and a carob pod's about 12 inches long, and they grow on, you know, little trees and all, and they'd feed them. Inside a carob pod, there's, I guess, 10 to 13 hard black seeds, but the flesh inside is sweet and kind of mushy, and, you know, you can, well, they make dry it out and make, you know, a chocolate substitute. But it was considered poor man's bread back then. And he said, man, I would, you know, be happy just to, you know, fill my stomach. But here it is, and no one gave him anything. He didn't have anything, you know, and he's sitting there, okay, I'm going to eat some of these pods. But nobody said, okay, you know, can eat this or do. Nobody gave him a thing. You see, that's the kingdom of darkness. kingdom of darkness invites you in, you know, and they're going to take all of your livelihood. They're going to take all of your possessions. They're going to listen, man. I know what fair weather friends are. When you got lots of money and you're letting the good times roll, you're going to have lots of what they call fair weather friends, people that are going to hang out with you. But when the party's over, they're gone. Hallelujah. They're gone. Hallelujah. One thing I've learned, the relationships that I've made in church, amen, have endured the test of time. They've endured the test of time. And even when I was a young boy, it's crazy. I went to a Lutheran church, but the relationships I made in that Lutheran church, I'm still in contact with those people today on Facebook and, you know, all the different times. And so there's certain relationships that I would say are soulish and they're unholy. And those relationships really, those kind of soul ties, they need to be broken. A lot of times those things will hold us back, amen, from growing in the things of God. And you know, the relationships that we have, I'd say, in the Lord, those are the ones that are fruitful. Those are the ones where we can continue to grow and fellowship with the Lord.